Please turn to 2 Corinthians. In just a moment, I'll read chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I suppose you could say we're asking right now here in the evenings what it looks like to grow in our Christian life through the grace and the love of Christ. And tonight we'll see one of those, another of the kind of foundational principles. That. 2 Corinthians 5, 13 and, 14 and 15, and later on I'll probably read on the continued verses there following, but 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Let's pray. Father, as we consider the love of Christ, we've sung about it. Some songs not even planned. We've sung songs that remind us of your love, the love that the question, does Jesus care? He does. We thank you. We pray that now as we consider the love of Christ and its impact on our living, on our growing, on our obedience, please teach us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I think one of the things I want us to get at here in these evenings, and again, last week and this week are kind of foundational, and then you get a week off from me next week, and then as we hear from our missionaries, and then the next week we'll pick up on, I think in 2 weeks we'll pick up with the idea of our, I'm going to be talking about motivation right now, but I think in a few weeks, conviction, discipline, I believe next week be how grace and our drives our discipline in the Christian life, but motivation, let's think about that first. Motivation, and by the way, I really love how the Lord will kind of plan things. I didn't plan it. I kind of planned the night service before the morning, this morning service, but it's a very similar theme of how the love of Christ works out in our life and even how what biblical motivation is. But motivation is not feelings. Motivation is the reason why we do or do not do something. And although I'm going to get to the passage in a few minutes, you see that the reason we're told in this is the love of Christ. And again, the theme is our growing in our Christian faith and our walk with the Lord. Now, to kind of review a little bit and to kind of make some points from the review, living by grace, letting grace drive our living means that we're freed from trying to seek God's blessing through our obedience. And in fact, our obedience is really something that flows from God's blessing. It means being free from using spiritual disciplines to try to ingratiate ourselves to God, but actually the spiritual discipline flowing from our relationship with God. Now, it's true in our denomination, in our theological tradition, we can err on either side of, we can present grace as, you know, licentiousness, as being able to do what I want to do, and obviously that's not grace, and we're going to get to that, and of course we can, on the other side, we can tighten up obedience to the point that we are trying to earn something with God. But that's really, the Bible's clear. The Bible's clear. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then we're loved and accepted because of Christ's merit, His merits. He's earned it. He's done what we couldn't do. And He loves us. And so we live through Him, through His Spirit dwelling in us. God loves us through Christ. And Christ gets it right every time. And so it's Jesus' love working in us that does compel us. Now again, I said, if we just live by grace, doesn't that mean we might err with thinking we can do what we want? Well, Paul answers this in Romans 6, 1 and 2. Shall we sin that grace may abound? He says a big word, anathema. Never let it be. Let that thought be condemned. We would never sin that grace may abound. God's grace makes us want to obey. In fact, one example that of the life of obedience by grace through God's Spirit, Galatians 2:20. This is one of my favorites. We all have, you know, a handful of favorite verses that kind of stick with us. This is one of mine. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So as I live today in my body, Paul says, I live based on faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. He similarly says, back again in Romans, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's peace. We're in good relationship. We're in good standing. We have peace. We have shalom. We have favor, wellness with God. And so it is through him we've obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we stand today in God's grace, in his favor. Now, you remember last week, I said that there's a couple of bookends that will kind of hold us up either side as we walk this Christian life. One bookend, I said, was the righteousness of Christ, that we've been clothed in his righteousness as with a garment. And the other bookend, I said, was the power of Christ, that God's Spirit's come to dwell in us and gives us the power. We actually have the power once we've been regenerated. We've been born again. We have the power to obey, to say no to sin. Remember, what does it tell us? We won't be tempted beyond what we can bear, but he will always provide a way out. So these bookends, the righteousness of Christ and the power of Christ. And this afternoon I was thinking and praying, and I thought, well, you might say, why does that? That just is those theological words. Those sound like theological words. But let me relate it for those who are here this morning. Why does the righteousness of Christ being worn like a garment upon us, why does that matter? Well, think about this morning. I gave some examples. And maybe we're one of those folks, and we are we're the Christian. We're the faithful person in the relationship. And we have a spouse or a child or a parent or a friend, and they're really not loving us. They're not loving us back. They're doing some of those things, criticizing or making life hard. And maybe as the believer, as the faithful one, we're not responding as we ought. Maybe we're responding with their criticism of us, with criticism right back. Maybe when they yell at us, we just yell right back. Now, what can that do to us when we stop and take inventory? Well, if our standing with God at this moment is based on that, whether I just yell back rather than holding my peace, then our assurance might be in jeopardy. Our assurance of our salvation, our sense of our relationship. But God says, no, you're not. My love for you isn't based on how well you responded just then. My love for you is in Christ. And so with Christ's righteousness upon us like a robe, we can then say, wait a minute, this isn't the way. I don't need to respond. We can actually say, I'm sorry. You yelled at me and I yelled right back. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? So that righteousness gives us that stability when we're the ones messing up. And of course, the power, well, we know we need that. We need God's power to live the Christian life, to follow and obey, to trust and obey. We need his power. So those two bookends are important. But tonight I want to think more about the motivation of the Christian life, the motivation that leads us as we grow in grace. And I'm going to get to the love of Christ in our passage in just a minute. But let me give a couple of reasons when things really aren't in order as to why we obey and why they really don't work. I guess one of the reasons that we might try to obey, might try to be disciplined in the Christian life is fear. We fear that we might lose God's approval, that we might lose the approval of others who might be watching us. Fear. Or we might fear that we might lose God's blessing. Now, isn't that a sad place to be if we're afraid that our performance is going to cause God's blessing to fall off? Because that really would show us what a precarious situation that we're in. If we're basing the blessing on that, thank the Lord, He is generous. He makes His blessing overflow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So one of the wrong ways of what we might try to please the Lord is out of fear. And fear is a very unstable approach. It has no real power to change us. It's just going to leave us lacking. Now, another reason might be pride. To look good, to feel worthy, to have a sense that God owes me. And of course, that's self-serving. Maybe we're helping others, but in the end, we're not really helping others. We're just helping ourselves because we hope that God will bless us. So fear and pride are two of those reasons. But a biblical reason for obeying, a biblical reason for being here tonight is the love of Christ, a sense of God's grace, of the wonder of Christ's love for us. Let's look at our text. The love of Christ controls us. And then he again reminds us of one of the statements of the gospel. Because we've concluded this. One has died for all, therefore all have died. In other words, those in Christ, he died for us, and in him we have also died. He died for us what? That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So he is connecting our Christian life, our obedience, directly to the cross of Christ and his resurrection. And he connects his cross and resurrection to his love. Other words for that love is that we hear in the ESV, what I'm reading from, the love of Christ controls us. Other translations say his love compels us. It's Christ's love that compels us forward to keep going. To keep going. To keep putting one step in front of the other. To keep moving forward. Or it constrains us. It gives us that, we talked about it this morning, that narrow passage. It's like a wall on either side to keep us moving forward. His love. It just pops into my mind. I use it in a number of sermons. The Chariots of Fire. The Chariots of Fire is the movie about Eric Little, the Christian Scottish runner back in the 1920s, the Olympics. He wouldn't run on Sunday. But in the movie Chariots of Fire, he tells his sister, I run because I feel his pleasure. And he actually does it. He runs in the race in the movie, and then he actually gives a gospel presentation that evening after the race for those who want to wait around and talk to him. And he actually uses this. In the movie, they chose this passage. He says, the love of Christ constrains us. It compels me as I run, and it'll compel you as you live the Christian life. In the movie, he uses that for his devotion after his race. And so I think also in this text we can see the different aspects of our person, our mind. Our mind at work, thinking through God's teaching, God's word, our hearts as this love fills them, and then our wills as it pushes us forward in our Christian life. And so again, I would just say one of the a motivating principle pressing us forward in the Christian life is Christ's love. And it's the love that we see in one who lived for us, who died for us, and who was raised again for us. This is a reason to keep going. This is a reason to push forward. This is a reason to go to bed at night and to wake up in the morning. Now, the part where grace comes in, and when it says he died for all, he died for our sins. That's the beauty of it. Paul, back in Romans, when he is discussing the life of faith, he quotes Psalm 32. 1 and 2, and he says this, it's in Romans 4, 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. When that message gets down into our souls, that we're forgiven, that we're blessed, that he doesn't count our sins against us, that should put some wind in our sails. And again, I'm going to quote him a lot. Jerry Bridges, he has a book called Respectable Sins. And he tells us that forgiveness is not just for the gross sins of immorality, stealing, drunkenness, and worse, but Jesus also died for our selfishness. He died for our selfishness. He died for our pride. He died for our impatience. He died for those times we have a critical attitude and we have a judgmental spirit. And he frees us from those attitudes and he gives us the power because of the love of Christ, to repent, to change, to overcome them. And so if God is this committed to me, he forgives me of all these sins, then I guess we ask the question that Joseph asked. There's many Josephs in the Bible. I'm talking about the Joseph who worked for Potiphar back in the Old Testament. His wife, seeking a sinful encounter with him, he said to her, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" If Christ's love is compelling us, that's always our question when sin comes knocking on the door. When temptation comes knocking, we say, "How can I then do this great wickedness and sin against God, the one who loved me, the one who gave himself for me, the one who died for me and was raised for me?" And so, with the love of Christ as the foundation, what are a couple of motivations for our growing as that love? What does that love compel in us? Christ's love controlling us gives us, number one, a sense of gratitude, a grateful heart, a longing for him, a longing not just for his blessing, but for him. For him, let's see, 5:16 in the same section. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard it thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. In Christ, the old is away. This is from God. Oh, here's the part. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself. We're grateful. We're reconciled to God. We have a new relationship. So that drives our obedience. That drives our Christian life. And then, besides gratitude and a grateful heart, there is a little more sober reason, because we want to bring reverence to God. We do want to please him. We just have a good reason for the love of Christ. We have a joyful heart. We want him to be glorified. What's the chief end of man? To enjoy him forever. We want to do that. Christ's love makes us want to do that. Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, because of all that God's done for you, present your bodies a living sacrifice." That's why we present our bodies a living sacrifice, because of what Christ has done for us. And because of his promises. As we find here, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." We have so many promises here. And with these promises, beloved, because of these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. So what have I said? The love of Christ compels us, controls us. Upon that love, we have a sense of gratitude, a grateful heart, a longing for just that, the joyful presence of our Lord. And also, we want to bring reverence to him. We want to glorify him. We want him to be magnified in all things. And so, God's grace, the love of Christ, compels us. I'm going to close by turning to 2 Peter, a passage I love to go to again and again. So this is here's an application of our message tonight, and then I'll pray. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to what? To life and godliness. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And then he tells us, "So therefore, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, your virtue with knowledge, your knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection. For by God's grace, if all these qualities are yours, they'll keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful." In other words, they'll make you more effective and more fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that whatever each person here needs to take from this, that you'll press it home. Thank you, O Christ, for your love. May it control and compel all that we do, and may it give us a grateful heart and a desire for your glory in all the things we do, big and small, each moment of the day.